cliffcentral.com.
A friend of the family, Mr. Kingsley March, coming through with Famous. It's a bit surreal, the fact that we're playing the song and a couple of months ago we had to say goodbye. Not even a couple of months ago, it was a couple of weeks.
And the fact that yesterday, Thursday, it was a year since we sat down with him, since we had Unpoetic.
Yeah.
So that's like, what? Coming full circle. That's pretty cool.
It's really dope, man. Yeah, but man. As I said, when we actually announced that he had committed suicide, we are going to rep him all the way, man. Up until we join him at some point in time.
How crazy is his greatness? He wrote or he put together that song, Famous, and I suppose On the Way to Fame.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Global, baby.
Yeah, man. Anyway, welcome to it. 20-something. Myself is just another cool kid, or Jack for short. As I always say, if you knew me in person, you'd understand why that is funny. I'm joined by my... I don't know what to call you. Like, I keep coming up with different names for you, but for this week, I'll call you my compadre.
Londi stole my water. Because I don't drink still water, you know. Well, I don't buy still water. I don't see the point.
Yeah.
So now she's like, no, you don't drink still water. Give it to me. So now I'm thirsty.
I didn't say that.
I'm dying. I'm not going to
go. I didn't say that.
No, I think, no, you've been thirsty long before Londi took your water.
Oh, wow.
I'm playing. My bad. I'm playing.
You know what? Nah. All right.
Anyway, Lundi, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Ah, fantastic, man. That duke on your head.
Girl.
Girl.
Bona, I decided, Yazin, let me join the movement.
Ish, because I saw...
And I think I'm rocking it like a pro, eh?
You right now, you are so queen right now, it's not even funny.
You guys keep on doing this to me. Don't have to, hey?
We do, because, I mean, myself and Neo are two... I don't know.
We're still looking for the word to describe the two of you.
Yeah, we're crass. We are sometimes funny. We are entertaining. We are a bunch of things, but we can't sit here and act as if you don't bring some light into this room.
Oh wow!
I think so.
I feel so special right now.
I'm gonna throw shade. Here it comes.
I mean, that's just who you are.
It was bound to happen.
Exactly. What kind of life do you have, bro? Why do you have to be this guy?
So because the Duke isn't part of an outfit and it's very traditional, very beautiful, I think it's hiding something.
Wow. He just
if the
had
state
to be
capture report
guy.
Hadn't come out already, I would say it's under that Duke. You look lovely.
Note my silence.
Hey, man. All right. So... I found out a couple of weird things this week, right? I told you about one of them while we were sitting outside, right? But number one, apparently the people at Apple have a bit of a problem in China. Chinese consumers, there's a Chinese consumer group.
Yeah.
It's called the Chinese Consumer Association.
Okay.
Right? So they've been logging reports and complaints about the new iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6S.
Yes.
Right. Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Let's go. Yep.
There's an extra voice in here. You'll understand in a little bit, but
<All right>.
Yeah.
Can they hear me?
Now they can.
I said yes because I'm having a problem with my iPhone 6S. And I mean, there's a screen issue. It freezes and then it unfreezes. Today it pocket dialed an Adil Abraham.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, I couldn't even drop the phone. I mean, the worst part about it was that it was a video call. I haven't even washed my face. I haven't even brushed my teeth. And my phone is video calling people on my behalf. I mean, what the?
Madness, shit. Right? So people in China... seem to be echoing the anonymous lady's sentiments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at this point in time, there's more than just one complaint. It's not just, pocket dialing and doing all of these weird things. Apparently, it even switches off even when there's like 60% of the battery life still in there.
Wow.
And you thought BlackBerry was gone.
I remember the year, was it 2011, when DeadBerry happened. And all our BlackBerries died that year.
Yep.
I thought it was just me. I think I've been having a few issues as well.
Halala. There you go.
Like, sometimes I can't hang up. I'm just like, where's the hang up button? Where it just disappears.
Man, and okay, so if it's not the iPhone behaving like a BlackBerry, it's the Samsung behaving like a
cheap phone.
Right?
Why?
I don't know.
You are so expensive for whose mother?
What? wasn't there an issue with some of these phones bending at some point? Like
there was an issue if
you put your iPhone in your back pocket.
It would curve. But I think that was a rumor though. That was just the rumor.
Okay.
The
yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, so that's happening. Okay.
Who knew? 2016. Yeah. BlackBerry the Return, Baba.
Wow.
Resurrection. Another great thing. Well, this is a great thing.
Yeah.
Top Gear, right? Mm. Somehow I knew it was going to flop once they changed the presenters of the show. Richard Hammond, James May, and Jeremy Clarkson, right? They brought in this other random dude, Chris Evans was his name. Matt LeBlanc was also one of the presenters there. He was Joey on Friends, if you watched.
And nothing else.
Yeah, and then it was...
And then he played himself, and you were like, interested.
Yeah, that guy. So, clearly... I mean, it flopped because Chris was only there for one season anyway. Mm. And then he, you know.
Was it a whole season?
Yeah, it was.
How long
was
the season?
We had to suffer for a full season. Sure. It was about 13 episodes.
Oh, okay.
I stand to be corrected. But the good news is the main trio is back.
But before we get to them, can we look at things that flopped after the greatness left the building?
Ooh.
2 and a Half Men.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
That was.
Metro FM. That was... That is
in the
process of being...
It's like slowly, like... You
shutting down.
Ooh. YFM included. Let's throw that one in there, actually.
What else?
What else flopped after the greatness left?
Apple, clearly.
There you go.
Because Steve Jobs gone.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Bafana Bafana. As far back as Clive Buck. Once he flew off, it was like, downhill from there.
They couldn't land.
They couldn't.
Anything.
Ah.
I'm trying so hard not to be that person right now.
Please be
the person that you guys are.
No, we need you to be that person.
It's
right
the
now.
Truth, though.
Right now, it's the truth.
We
right?
all see it.
Okay.
Well, for those of you that were waiting for a moment when you could breathe easy, now that the true petrol heads are hosting a proper show, the grand tour starts today, right, on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Richard Hammond, back in the driver's seat. See what I did there? And it starts today, man. Crazy thing, the opening sequence, the opening sequence, cost them £1.4 million. Sure. Let me translate that into Kasi.
Please put it into my mother language.
44.4 million rand.
For an opening sequence.
Opening sequence.
Of a television show.
Yeah. Here's what's you can expect, rather, on the opening sequence with 150 cars. 2,000 petrol heads, acrobats, and believe it or not, jets. It's a car show.
True, but they have
with jets.
Wow.
Okay. And I think it's safe to say on that bombshell, we can carry on with our show.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Boom.
We are joined by
our own jet version of a jet.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
You know what? I was thinking about it on my way into the studio. Like, how would I introduce someone of this stature?
Caliber.
Of this caliber. You understand?
Yeah, man.
And instead of trying to be original and think of something great on my own, I thought I will find someone who is great on their own, who wrote something great, right? And the person that joins us today is... Pretty woman, wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I tell lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my steps, the curl of my lips. I am woman. Ooh. Phenomenally. Mm. Phenomenal woman. Mm. That's me.
Mm.
I just walk into a room, just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellows stand or fell down to their knees. They swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing of my waist, the joy of my feet. I am woman, phenomenally.
Mm.
Phenomenal woman, that's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I am woman. Phenomenally. Phenomenal woman. That's me. Now you understand that's why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say it's the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need for my care, because I'm a phenomenal woman. Oh, because I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman,
that's me.
Masi Chaba Ndlovu.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I am blown away. Goddamn.
I mean, we had to introduce you in a manner befitting someone like you.
Yes, thank you.
You understand? And I think Maya Angelou's words were just, I mean, how do we even begin to try describe the woman, you know?
By the way, this is a first for me. Nobody's ever introduced me like that before.
Is it?
Yes.
I'm happy. I'm so happy.
Everyone does the profile thing. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've had my profile read out to me.
Oh, wow. Oh, right? Oh, damn.
You know, the every time I listen to, it's an India Arya song. Mm-hmm. I'm not the average girl from the video.
Yeah.
Everything that she says, I just think of her.
You know what I mean?
Man, thank you. And I love that song, by the way.
I swear. I just think of you.
Thank you. And I'm happy that, you know, that's the association, you know, because that's all that I've ever wanted. From the minute I set foot in this industry, I never wanted to be the it girl.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be known for my looks. I never wanted to be known for the clothes that I wear. But, you know, for people to know the purpose that I'm here to serve, for me, that's it.
That is epic.
Wow.
You know what? We have about 45 minutes to sit down and chat with you. I want to try, if possible, cram all of the goodness that is you into that 40 minutes, which is impossible. But let's go back to the genesis. I mean, first and foremost, you are a child born in exile.
Yeah.
I cannot even begin to understand what that means. How was it weird for you? Was it something that you were told from an early age that these are your circumstances, this is what you were born into?
It was pretty normal for me, you know. There was nothing untoward at the time because it's all I knew. Being born in Lusaka, the atmosphere, the environment was all that I'd become familiar with. I grew up in Zambia until the age of 5. My sister was also born there the year that we left. So I didn't know any different. It's only, I think, when I grew up and I got to experience different places, the States, I got to experience South Africa, that I then realized, okay, I had a pretty interesting childhood.
Okay.
Yeah, because you've got something to compare it to.
Yeah. Do you ever, like, when you finally came to South Africa, were there any people thinking that you weren't real? Like,
yeah, I got that all the time.
Like no, man.
Yeah.
I think when I go gas.
Yeah, yeah, no. And you know, when I arrived in South Africa, because I was painfully shy.
Okay.
I got popular real quick for the wrong reasons. You know, people would always be like, there's a girl from the States. Yo, listen up.
Yeah.
Because there was still this, you know, sort of, are we allowed to swear on this radio station?
Yeah,
dick
sure.
riding, you yeah, know, dick yeah. riding American culture, right?
Okay.
So people would be fascinated with my accent. But then when I entered the industry, some people would say some horrible things like, oh, she watches too much TV. Or, but here's the worst thing, is not the comments, is the fact that I felt the need to actually explain myself every time.
Okay.
And you know, that's before I was awoke, you know. I would explain to people that no, I grew up in the States and da, 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 da. And you know, then it got to a point where I'm just like, you know what, actually this is who I am. I've got a, you know, mixed masala accent, you know. I'm most proudest of the fact that even though I spent 7 to 8 years in the United States, my Sotho is on fleek.
There you go.
Okay. Wow. There are people who grew up in this country who do not speak Sesotho as well as I do.
Yeah.
So I got over trying to justify myself. But the one thing that I did do was to hang out. See, you know, when I was at Princess High, I'd hang out with people from Kagiso. When I got to Mondio High, I'd hang out with people from Soweto, just so I could get a grasp of the nuances of the language, of the culture.
Yeah.
I tried everything in my power to rid myself of America and embrace my Africanness. But in so doing, as I've grown up, I realized, you don't have to run away from who you are either.
True.
You know, let yourself be whatever you are.
It's almost as if from what you're saying, it sounds as if what started off as a negative, just got flipped into a positive at a later stage.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just who you are.
It's just who I am. And here's the interesting thing is that people always ask me, well, in the beginning especially, they used to ask me, where did you go to school? There was this assumption that I went to a private school.
Okay.
You know, and also, you know, white people will say, why you speak so well?
Darling.
That's Marcy Chaba.
Let me tell you how.
She is so articulate, I tell you.
And it's interesting because how I became so articulate and is purely from trying to speak South African English with a South African accent.
Okay.
So I would think in an American accent, and yet I was consciously always trying not to roll my R's. And so I came to enunciate my words the way that I do today. Now it's like such a subconscious thing.
Yeah.
Mm. It's great to hear that you've always had that welcoming essence about you, that welcoming feeling, that spirit about you. I mean, you say you going through the process of, you know, as difficult as your upbringing was, but being able to learn about the individuals around you and take on what, you know, what they could bring. You didn't put anybody down because you were being put down.
Oh, and you won't even believe this. Like, there is a dude out there. If anybody knows Bongani, please shout out to Bongani, who was a guy in my math class. I had a huge crush on Bongani and no one knew. And I only bumped into one of his friends who's in advertising, Grant, much later on. And I said, where's Bongani? And he says, hey, I'm not sure, I don't know. I said, do you know that I had the biggest crush on that guy? He said, what? Get out of here. Do you know that he had a crush on you? I said, no, he never showed me. No, he said, because we were always teasing him, telling him, Antanga, forget it. You know, this chick is from the States, yo. And they'd be coming to me like, yo. Bongani, on the other hand, Nelimuzulu. And you know what I was Zulu say? You know, paka.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I found attractive. And it made me realize, Hora, as people, it's important, Hora, Skype Afatsi. You know, don't assume you know what a person wants or what a person needs.
Yeah.
You know, based on their background, based on how they look or how they speak.
For sure.
You may miss out on the biggest opportunity of your life, man, because you think that the girl is not going to be into you or she's way beyond your league, and it's not even like that.
Yeah. A friend of mine keeps saying to me all the time that we sometimes, as men, give women a bit too much credit. Like, there are times where we look at a hot girl and we think, if she's beautiful, she has to be smart.
Right.
She has to be well-spoken. She has to be well-groomed and all of this stuff.
No.
And that's half of the time we end up not communicating with them at all, standing in the corner on that, if she would come through this way, negative one.
Oh my God. Exactly.
And at the end of the day, nothing ends up being done.
No, for sure. And, you know, I'm actually happy that, you know, you see a beautiful woman and you think she's intelligent because, you know, it definitely isn't always the case.
Oh, true, true.
Yeah. And we know some hot girls who just let the whole team down, but that's okay. You know, you know, we are all born different and that's all right. We need to embrace our differences. But ultimately, I think it's very important that you never just be brave, just have balls, because, you know, the men that I find sexy are the confident ones, you know, and not the brash ones, but someone who's got a quiet confidence and knows who he is and feels secure wherever he is.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Kind of like the man I married.
Okay.
Cosign.
Okay.
You embody the fact that as human beings, as people, we are one distant tribe, you know, having touched so many places. And you are definitely made of strong stuff. Looking at your journey and hearing about your journey, do you have a spirit animal? Do you have an animal that you would associate yourself with?
I love that question so much.
I do, actually. A tiger.
Ooh, wow.
Okay.
A tiger. And that's for a number of reasons, you know, aside from that. In fact, at one point, my Twitter profile picture was a tiger, a beautiful tiger. The reason being, I mean, besides the fact that I have a tiger characteristic within me, how do I say this? How do I explain this? Kingwanabadim.
Okay.
So, you know, I roll with the OGs and I have a very male energy. And number one. Number two, I'm a tiger mom as well. I've got boys and girls, but the boys live with us. And with the boys, you know, I'm raising men here. So, you know, there's no time to faff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they know they set one foot wrong, they will feel my wrath. Yeah. And no one can tell me that, oh no, this is a democracy, you're not allowed to do this and that with your that is my child. Okay?
Yeah.
Democracy ends at the gate. You know what I'm saying? Thank you very much. Yes.
Talking about childhood, you're an author.
Yes, I am.
what is an 8-year-old writing about? You have a you wrote a book at 8.
Yeah.
What were you writing about at 8?
It's actually stories, a series of stories that I wrote when I was 8 years old. And it's the first time I've ever been asked this question, actually. But I was writing a lot of fiction, you know? Okay. I wrote a lot of fictional tales that were inspired by my life, inspired by things around me. And I used to read a lot of fiction, you know, Roald Dahl. Yeah. I think I've read every single Roald Dahl book. Mm. And as a child, you know, your imagination is just really wild. So, yeah, I never really wrote anything factual except for what was in my diary. And it started with my diary, actually. Mm. My mom introduced me to a diary when I was, as soon as I could hold a pencil. And for me, it became a coping mechanism, you know? And it's interesting because now I'm thinking like Anele now as I'm connecting the dots of my life. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't know that my passion for storytelling would begin with that diary and would begin with those stories. And now ultimately I am still telling stories, but I'm not telling fictional stories anymore. I'm telling real life stories.
Yeah.
You know, real people's issues, their journeys to heal others in the process.
At what point did it become real to you that, you know, you're telling stories, more especially real life stories? Was it a decision to go into broadcasting and you know, bringing life to life in a sense?
Wow, I love that question. Like, interestingly enough, I studied journalism so I could write.
Okay.
I had no intentions of being on the radio or being on television in the beginning.
Okay.
And I'm not lying when I say that TV found me. It really did. It wasn't part of the plan, but hey, when God says, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know that I had a natural rapport with the camera. And, you know, when I entered the industry, it just happened. I've never done drama in school. I didn't study anything that had anything to do with presenting or anything like that. I'd never taken any course before. So I guess it just came from a pure passion. But initially, when I entered the industry, it was purely for fun. And it was also to make money because I was broke.
Okay.
But then
We can believe it.
Louder.
We can believe it.
But you know, there was a guy who it wasn't so much a prophecy as it was, they say I have it, a spirit of affirmation. Okay. He affirmed something in me, and he knows the story now. His name is Gabelo. He affirmed something in me that I didn't really pay attention to. And because he switched on that light bulb, and so I pursued this thing. But came a point when I realized that, no, man, I don't just want to take any job in the industry. I'd done a little bit of acting. I'd done a little bit of this, a little bit of that, things I wouldn't even repeat. Mm-hmm. But no, not porn. Not anything like that. Okay. But I got to a point where I thought, these things don't excite me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to impact real change. I want to make a difference. And as a healer, coming from a family of healers, it wasn't as clear as that in my mind. But I just knew that I wanted to do something that meant something. Do meaningful work, you know?
Yeah.
So I started saying no.
It's strange that a lot of people seem to think that once you jump into the industry in any shape or form, it seems as if you should be saying yes.
Yeah, to everything. And our agents also push us in that direction, because came a time when she would say to me, Master Chaba, this is a small industry. You can't afford to be so fussy. If work comes, you just take it.
Yeah.
And I'd say no. You know, there were times, it's not like I had money. There were times my lights were switched off. I'd get thrown out of places because I couldn't meet my rent. But even in that, I said I would rather. I'd rather honestly sweep the streets than mess with my brand again. Okay. You know, I know what I'm building. And it was hard. I was hungry in the beginning, you know. But now I've reached a point where in the last 7-8 years, I've never had to queue and go audition for a job. Work has come to me to my cell phone.
Yeah.
I've been headhunted for stuff because people now associate me with a certain essence, with a certain quality. And they know if you're looking for this, you go to Master Chabandlov.
That's where you head. That's where you need to go knocking.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Some of the people that aren't in the industry anymore are thinking, you used to call me on myself. I've got this. I've got AKA's intro on Levels that Tumi did. Oh hallelujah, mwana wa modimo. That's all that's ringing in my head right now.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Here's a thought. You're talking about having to say no to jobs and jobs coming to you.
Yeah.
It's said that radio is a difficult medium to get into as opposed to TV. Would you say that was, would you agree with that sentiment that radio is a much more difficult medium to break into than television?
To break into in terms of entering the industry?
Yeah.
Once again, I was approached, so I wouldn't know. And I don't know how to say this without sounding garigakom, but I wouldn't know. Okay. I've never tried to go out for a radio job. There was nothing out there that appealed to me at the time. And I'd always known that I've got an appetite for radio, but until I was approached by Given Mkhari and Andile Khumalo, and, you know, for me, it, when they presented the idea to me, it was an instant yes. It's just a matter of making it work. I knew I didn't want to do current affairs anymore. I resigned from news. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of shaping my life where I wanted it to go. But it wasn't without pain.
Yeah.
You know, resigning from a permanent job and taking chances, it comes, you feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I ended up back in my mama's house, but with a little baby on top of that. But, you know, I'm really glad that I made that decision because I wouldn't have done half the things that I got to do after I left news, you know. So that's been pretty cool. It's been a great journey.
You know, when we are joined by people like yourself, I always wonder what fear does or what part fear plays in your life. Like a lot of people walk in here and they tell us, no, you need to be fearless. You need to do this. You need to, you know, what is your relationship with fear?
Yeah.
Do you embrace it?
Oh,
and
wow. I've been scared every step of the way.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Anela asking me, what am I afraid of? I said, what's the one thing that scared you? I said, every single thing I've ever done. And she said, no. I said, yes, really. It's the truth. And if I felt nothing, then I knew that, you know, this is definitely not something even worth bothering myself with. Mm. But, you know, have you ever felt like you are literally in the deep end, like you are in over your head?
Yeah.
I felt like that every single time I took on a new job. And I'm thinking, God, what have I got myself into? Can I do this? Mm. Sometimes, like with shows like The Big Debate, I'd literally cry tears the night before because I feel like I'm not ready. I can't do this. I can't do this. And I've been preparing for weeks for this one moment. And yet, just before, I'm terrified shitless.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Yeah.
So with that, you wallow and you think about all these things. You're like, what am I gonna do? I'm not ready for this. How do you snap out of it?
I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. I signed a contract. But I promise you, if I could run away, I swear to God I would run away. But because, you know, okay, I have to show up, you know, just do it. But there are rituals that I have that settle me, that calm me. Like Hussein, for instance, one thing that I've been taught, you know, God has brought all these gifted people around me. One of my producers on The Big Debate is a prophet. Kim Profita is a young guy, very, you know, radical. And interestingly, my sound engineer at my radio show is also on a journey of becoming a prophet. So I'm just surrounded by people who are giving me messages all the time. And I'd say to him, this young man, producer Tabiso, but you know, I just get so overwhelmed when I get onto that stage, that set, like, guy email, right, you know? And I just don't know what to do. He said, Marawa Pahla, before you come to work. No, interestingly, no. I do it every other day, but not the day that I'm going to shoot. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the 4 o'clock wake up time or whatever. He says, Mashtaba, you need to do that because you are a spirit child. So you pick up on energies. You don't know who in the room. You know, people's spirits can be negative, can be heavy. You don't know who's killed a person in this room. So you're picking up on all these energies, and yet you've not, you know, had a prayer ritual. So that's what I started doing. I pray, and sometimes, and it's something that I'm very open about because I feel like as Africans, we just need to go back, man. You know, I'm at peace. Like, I've never known peace like I know peace now, you know?
That's louder.
It's written all over her face as she says it.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
You know, within my own personal trials and tribulations, there have been times where I'll be surrounded by, you know, people with really big personalities.
Yeah.
I mean, The Big Debate, for instance. I mean, those aren't just...
No. These are politicians.
Yeah, it's not just Tom,
and you must
Dick
remember,
and
let's be honest, people like President Jacob Zuma, pela bayadinga pela, and sometimes, you know, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy energies on you, you know? So yeah, and also, you know, without mentioning any other names, but we don't know what people have done in their past.
True.
We don't know what they bring. So, it's very important. It's very important, whether it's just getting down on your knees and praying and asking for God to just cover you with his light, to give you strength. Those little things. I pray with everyone in the makeup room after the guests have gone downstairs. My husband, who's my manager, my team, makeup artist, the crew, we hold hands, we pray. Yeah. And I pray for everything, for the equipment. I pray for every crew member, you know, that they may be blessed and protected.
That has to be an ease to your mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because as I was saying, like, I find myself in different rooms with different people. Like, whenever we have a mass meeting here at Cliff Central, I mean, the number of large personalities that walk into this room can make one feel, you know, small. Even.
You shrink.
You know, you kind of shrink back into yourself.
Yeah.
And you wonder if you are, you know, the right person to be in that type of space.
Of course. You end up questioning and doubting yourself. I mean, it happens to me too.
Yeah.
You know, but when I've armored myself with prayer, I there's just a certain confidence that I have that cannot be shaken, you know? And if I don't take the time to do those little things, and those are little big things, then I get a bit, you know, shaky, and I'm not sure of myself. And because now I'm relying on my own strength. But when I know that it's a higher power that's taken over me, then boy, the tiger comes out.
Yeah. There's no way you could lose.
You know what I'm saying?
It scares me that people don't know or don't recognize that they're walking around with energies, man.
Yeah.
And you can pick it up.
Yeah.
There are certain individuals that make you feel things and you're just like, I don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it with your mouth.
You can't put your finger on it, what it is. And we don't trust our instincts, eh? We never do.
It's weird. And half of the time we do. Like, have you ever walked into a room and there's a couple sitting in there having a conversation? Somehow you know that's a couple and you should, you know, walk out of the room. I would think that is the energy that is in the room.
Exactly.
And half of the time we don't read into it the same way.
100%. But the same being said, you know, how often we find ourselves in danger and you know, your spirit is telling you, you are in danger.
Mm.
And yet you either don't want to be rude and this is something that I actually learned on the Oprah show, interestingly enough, 10 years ago or so, to say most people, before they were kidnapped, before they had a gun held to their head, they felt it. They knew something wasn't right. Mm. But you just didn't want to take action to get out of that situation because you felt, what if I'm wrong? Maybe I'm just, you know, trust your gut.
You have to. You have to. You keep mentioning your husband.
Hey, I was good.
Lucky guy.
Cosine.
Lucky guy. Lucky.
I can't help it. He's such a big part of me.
How do you get the balance right? I mean, having your husband being your manager. I know it didn't start off as husband manager. It was, you know, manager and client. And then, okay, let me not assume
tell
anything.
The story. Yeah. Like, I'll tell the story. Sorry, damn it.
Please tell the story.
It's her story. Anyway.
Okay. I'm going to need to find a physician so I can get my foot out of my mouth.
Okay. So basically, my husband and I started professionally, and he wasn't my manager initially, but you know, he's a music producer. He owns Odeon Productions, and I had commissioned his company to create an opening theme song for my opening sequence of my talk show pilot. And I met him through a mutual business partner of ours, Simon Makwela. And so we initially were communicating on email, via telephone, with regards to the brief, etc. So I'd known him, that was about 5 years ago. And then another project brought us together called I'm a Migrant. You can check out the video on my website, masichabandlovu.com. And basically, it was a song that we all did for free, a couple of other public figures. And it was a, what do you call it? It was a public service campaign.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a public service campaign about migration and, you know, saying no to xenophobia and that type of thing. And being one, uniting as Africans. And he produced the song. So, you know, initially when I'd met him the first time, we were both in relationships. But I saw him, you know. I'm like, hello, chocolate. What's up?
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. No, I definitely saw him because I just found myself, I couldn't leave his side. You know, I asked him if I could chill a bit and just like watch him work. And I was long done with my part.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just, we were just quiet. There was no conversation that happened, but just watching him and just his presence, you know. And seeing how he's strong but humble at the same time. So anyway, somewhere down the line, there was a launch. He wasn't there, and I got his number, and I only went to hoping I'm going to see him because I was single to mingle. So he wasn't there, and I phoned him. I'm like, yo, you know, where were you? How come you're not at the launch? So he said, no, I was busy, da da da. Cut a long story short, it turned out that his studio was very close to where I was living. Around the corner from Hyde Park. He was based in Rosebank. Boom. One day I showed up to the studio with a bottle of wine and two glasses, and I found out that he was single to mingle too.
There's a tiger right there.
Yes.
Girl.
Yeah.
That's how it's done.
Yes.
Ladies, that is how it's done.
Exactly. So, you know, and what I love, and it's something that I think is so important, is that this was the first time that I didn't fall in love.
Yeah.
In the sense that we always do as girls. We get so stupid. Now, for the first time, we were married before we were married, because we just spoke for hours every day until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We would just speak about family planning, discipline, sex. We spoke about money. We spoke about our visions. So after 3 days, we knew on day one.
Yeah.
And he was the only man who'd ever asked me the crucial questions. What is your plan? You know, what excites you? What do you like from a man? You know, a question like, do I qualify? Men don't go there anymore.
Yeah.
Because we assume we do.
You know what I mean?
They just become shallow about everything.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was a soul connection.
That is deep.
That's what I love about energy. If it's meant, it'll circle back.
Of course.
You don't need to rush it.
Yeah.
You
know, go.
Okay. Obviously, he's part of your wolf pack. I've seen you with Donald. I've seen Toilet Mo as well, regularly on your Instagram, that is.
Yeah.
Who else is part of your wolf pack, and how do you sort of decide which energy to keep around you?
That is pretty amazing. Definitely Donald, Mo. I love them, man. I mean, those are my people. Who else I've got in my wolf pack? My assistant, Dre. I have...
Shout out, Dre.
Yeah, shout out Dre one time. Yeah, what's good?
I have family in my wolf pack. I have my husband, who's my G. He's my best friend. And I don't keep a bigger circle than that. You know, I also have Lindo. Shout out to Lindo, by the way. She's in KZN. You know, you have these friends you hardly speak to. You don't speak every day. But when you speak, you speak.
Yeah. You speak.
You know what I mean?
That's friendship.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I've got a couple of people that I hang out with. Mm. And some of them got really irritated. I was like, look, let's be honest. You guys are great for the weekend. Like, I love... we work on a weekend. Like, we can party all the time.
Yeah.
The problem is, during the week, we don't really have much to talk about.
I hear you. And it's so funny because you should mention Mo. So Mo and Mome, his wife, I was initially friends with Mo. And then Mo always says Mome stole me from him. But I'm closer to her now. And we just become one big happy family. We do play dates and whatever. But it's interesting because I hardly do the fun things with them. I don't club. They love, you know, they love to do stuff and whatever. Interestingly, we get together for the quiet moments that are not on Instagram. You know what I mean? The only time they manage to drag me to a club is when it's one of their birthday parties, you know, and then you'll see me at one of these nightclubs, Cocoon or wherever it is, a Taboo. But I love the fact that we have a relationship that no one knows about. You know, we see each other in those quiet spaces and we don't always capture it, you know, but it's real talk. It's us chilling and bonding and growing each other. And it's so deep, we dream about each other as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Energy, people.
Spiritually connected.
Energy, yeah.
Before, you know, I've got a friend who is going to wring my neck if I don't do this. She sent me a question for you.
Yeah.
On WhatsApp. She sent it via a voice note. So instead of having me read it out, she was like, no, I'm going to say it myself.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So here goes nothing.
Hi, Jack. Hi, Van Given. Hope you guys are having a lovely show. Thank you so much for bringing Osmas Chawa on the show. I wanted to ask, how does she balance being a strong black woman in a male-dominant industry? Because most industries are male-dominant. Because I'm also in a male-dominant industry and I tend to lose my femininity. Gene.
Mm.
And I've watched her through the years and she hasn't lost that.
Wow.
How does she keep on being feminine but also being very assertive?
Huh. That is a powerful question. Mm. What is her name?
Her name is Mosamoeketsi.
Mosamoeketsi.
Yes. She's got a construction company. And we actually had her in for an interview I think it was last year, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I told her about it and she was like, you know what, I love Maschaba.
Wow.
And she had to send in that question.
Powerful question from a powerful woman. I can feel that.
Mm.
So it's a very interesting one and nobody's ever asked me this question before. But I'm actually happy that she thinks I'm feminine, by the way, because I don't feel feminine most of the time. And I don't associate with any gender.
Okay.
I know this sounds really crazy. My spirit is androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the word. I have a very androgynous spirit. So every time I've walked into boardrooms, into negotiations, into media spaces, into male-dominated spaces, I've never walked in with a thought or the feeling that I am a woman walking into a male space.
Okay.
I am a power person walking in to be with other power people. And I think that's the reason why I've pretty much gotten what I've wanted in the industry. Because I remember I was asked to give a talk on why girls are always sidekicks in radio.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I couldn't relate because I've never been anybody's sidekick on anything.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've just never positioned myself in that way. So I almost didn't want to give the talk. It was at the VITS thing that they do every single year,
mm-hmm.
The annual radio thing. So I almost didn't want to give the talk because I didn't want to offend anybody. But a student actually said to me when I told her the reason I don't want to give the talk, she said, but that's why you need to give the talk.
Yeah.
And they loved it. And I always teach young girls, don't hold back. Don't limit yourself. And don't, I've heard women trying to be men.
Mm.
I've never felt the pressure to try and be anything. Just be yourself. You know, if you are a young, flowery, feminine girl, be that young, flowery, feminine girl. If you are a strong bull of a character, be that. But don't try and be anything other than what you are.
Yeah. It sometimes seems like such a foreign concept to tell someone to be themselves.
That's the thing.
It's like, what are you talking about?
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah.
So which is why for me, before when I do my lectures, I lecture on interview skills and television and radio broadcast presentation. And I always start with the authenticity talk because we're not going anywhere if I just teach you a set of skills.
Yeah.
I want you to think about who you are and what you bring to the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if anybody is here just to be famous, you know,
sit at home.
Rather, you know, let's refund you. Here's your money. You can go home because that's not what we're about.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we're about creating game changers. But also, to answer Mosa's question, when you are authentic, when you're true to yourself, you never ever have to think about a balance.
Mm.
It just comes naturally. So what that means is that never be afraid to raise your hand. Never be afraid to give your opinion. You know, we women, we especially women, have got the tendency of saying, in my opinion, da-da-da-da-da. Of course it's your opinion. Just say the thing. You know, I think we should do it like this. And if they don't agree, they don't agree. But we tend to, we'll say, I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't know why we're so apologetic. Just say the damn thing and let's talk about it.
Because if your point is provocative, by saying sorry, but it doesn't change the fact that it's provocative.
Exactly. Don't apologize for anything you feel, anything you want. Don't try and go with what's popular, what people, you know, where the majority is going. The same is true for our personal relationships. The reason why so many relationships fail is because we don't fight to be who we are in relationships.
Mm.
So today you've got a man who goes to church. When I solo mutwa kereke now all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you halala. Now you go to church every Sunday because your man goes to church. Tomorrow you've got a man who's in to sport. Now you're finding yourself sitting and doing things that you don't enjoy doing instead of saying, babe, actually, you know what? I'm going to leave you and the boys to watch TV. I mean, I let my husband, and sometimes he's with his friends, they watch the game. I do me. And that's cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't ever try to mold yourself. And the same is true when in-laws come over. For some reason, we put away the wine. We put away the things that Mama Zalawaka Kim Zalwane had kosho. So, you know, for her, things like bompepo and things like that, you know, that's like demonic connect to the next level. That's when I bring out my mbepo, ke phatla mo. Ke ntsha le glass ya wine ke re mamzo. Harenwe. And I love her and she loves me and I'm crazy and that's okay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I actually wanted to find out your thoughts on the state of broadcasting in this country at this point in time. I mean, there's a lot of things happening. There are faces that have been recycled for millennia on our TV screens. Yeah. There are voices that are jumping from one place to another. What are your thoughts on broadcasting in this country? Are we headed in the right direction?
Absolutely not. You don't even have to finish that question. Okay. Absolutely not.
All right.
I have a love-hate relationship with this industry. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't changed. From day one, I personally feel like we don't know what we want. Number one. Number two, I'm sick and tired. I get tired of being in an industry that glorifies vacuous characters, okay. You know? So people who bring nothing.
To the table, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying everything has to be impactful. Sometimes you just want to be entertained. I mean, I watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, yeah. for God's sake. Sometimes you just want, you know, just like brainless television you want to check out. I get that. But I also feel that, you know, the minute we start hiring radio and television personalities based on Twitter numbers, we've lost the plot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
We've definitely lost the plot. It's not about radio anymore. It's not about television anymore. And if we have to look at the numbers on Twitter, how many South Africans are on Twitter? About 5 to 7 million. I stand to be corrected. Mm-hmm. We'll double check those facts if you can just Google it on your cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have a conversation around if that is a viable way of approaching the media industry, number one. Number two, I find South African media to be very lazy. I am one of the people, I think, who can say without shame, I've benefited from the industry's laziness.
Okay.
And I say this without shame because I'm good at what I do. But there's a lack of effort in trying to dig up new talent. We don't
there
go
is.
And try to find new talent.
There is. And I think the reason I asked you that question is because I am one of those people that have seen recycling everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even when it comes down to some of the programming, the ideas... There's so many ideas in this country. There's so many different angles we could be using to tell so many different stories.
Yeah.
But it seems as if we keep regurgitating the same thing. It's like everyone's following the status quo.
Even with acting, the acting industry, I'm getting confused by who's who now and with these characters. Because one minute I'm seeing this character, this guy acting there, and then he's on another soapy, and then he's on another soapy. Have you noticed how in the United States, a guy who enters Days of Our Lives will be on Days of Our Lives until he dies.
Right, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
We're not going to suddenly see him on Bold and the Beautiful, and then we're going to see him on what's this, whatever the other ones are called.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, also as an industry, we fail ourselves because, number one, there's a lack of respect for formats in general, we're always trying to change a working format. If it works, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Number two, we don't respect talent. I've got to say, the one guy that I've worked with in this industry who respects talent is Monde Twala.
Okay.
The former head of ETV.
Yes.
And he's now heading up Viacom. Mm. He respects talent so much. You don't have to fight for anything. You don't have to fight for your worth. You don't have to fight for your value. And, you know, what this does is that if you look at American TV shows, talk shows, whatever they be, even the ones where there's more than one presenter, they never, ever lose their talent.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. You know, the show can go on. It can be syndicated for 20 years because they've not changed their presenters. They've not changed their formats. Here, presenters are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
And I've been told that to my face, by the way, by an executive producer who said to me, y'all are a dime a dozen.
Okay.
So I said, okay, all right, you host the show then. Bye.
If we're a dime a dozen. Bye. There you go. Bye, Felicia.
Bye. 7.4 million users on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
7.4 million users on Twitter, and we act like Twitter is the whole wide world. Come on now. We are a population of 55 million.
True.
And yet people get jobs on the basis of the number of followers that they've got on Twitter and not on merit. There's something wrong with that. What about the kids who actually have the talent? What about the ones who even go as far as to study this shit? You know what I mean? Who have it? Who got what it takes? They will never even sniff a microphone.
Which is madness, because what ends up happening is that you have a bunch of really talented people ending up being, call center agents that you get pissed off at because they don't like their jobs, because they're in some random spot where they should not be.
Speak about call center agents. I recently was on a call to Vodacom, right?
Yeah.
And there was this young man who was helping me, and I was really upset because of a long story.
Okay.
But I was very pissed off, yeah. And I was taking my anger out on him, right? And he handled me so well, but his voice, he's got this, you know, sense of authority. He articulates himself well. Something in me, it was like God came out of me and said, you know that you should be on the radio. You do know that, right?
Mm.
He said, oh my God. Wow, it's not the first time I'm hearing this, but wow, coming from you. And I said, seriously. And when you're serious about coming in and seeing what I do, I'm inviting you on any night to come through to the station. Come hang out with us.
Yeah.
This young man is it. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with him, but all I know,
something
there's
must
a
be.
Guy. Yes. There's a guy, guys. He yes. needs to be on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Ha. And we need a lot more people just like you, honestly speaking. Because I get the weird feeling that the people that do have gigs, like radio gigs and TV shows and all of this stuff, they're very stingy.
Thank you for not mincing your words.
This is my spot.
Yes.
Don't walk in here exactly. anymore. It's exactly. not even about radio being the theater of the mind anymore. Yeah. This is my show. That's it.
100%. It's gone as far as me being told by the former HR head at my station that, you know, Ms. Chaba, you've got to stop bringing in all these strays. I said, excuse me? Strays.
Wow.
Muntomnyama ke lolo, yeah. Yeah.
What the
strays.
So okay. Our powerful young people are strays. So now it's gone to the point where they know me now. Like, I fight for young people. Like, and I think it's also about not being threatened to have somebody come in and be better than me.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's really about. Let's be honest.
It
know?
Is. Mm. It is. I think if you are a creative, or if you actually know your worth.
Yes.
Nothing outside of that can threaten you. Like,
no.
I mean, I got this show on my own initially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I called these guys to join me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it didn't work with me just alone.
Exactly.
You know? I feel like ever since these guys joined the show, it's become even better.
A better show. And you never ever felt like, oh, what if he takes my job, or what if she takes my job, or, you know, you understand where you what your value is, and therefore you see the quality that they bring in, and it doesn't have to threaten you because it's different.
Ah, man.
Yeah. They can't do you. You can't do them. Yeah.
Man.
So I feel like we have a responsibility to walk through the door and leave the door open, you know?
Wide open.
We struggle with that.
Let's break the lock and throw it away, man.
Yes.
Damn, let's not even use door handles anymore.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shit.
Yes. Come back to Africa.
Woo,
baby.
Come
man.
On.
The conversation has been this marvelous, this lengthy. I don't know if you want to plug your work now.
Yes, I do. Hell yes.
Plug your work.
So, catch me on Mosewaka on SABC 2 at 6 p.m. this Saturday evening and every Saturday. And
powerful show, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much.
It is.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And you'd have to watch it. For someone who knows what Mosewaka means, has never seen the show, they're thinking, a show about dresses? No, honey.
No. Nope.
It's got nothing to do with dresses.
Mm-hmm.
The outfits are just a symbolism of wherever that place, the person was in their lives at the time. So that's on Saturday at 6 p.m. And also tune into The Big Debate, new episodes every Sunday at 10 a.m. on ETV. Saturday, Sunday.
There you go.
SABC 2, ETV.
Yeah. How do we keep up with you on social platforms?
I am at Masachabandlovu on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And my website is masachabandlovu.com and masachabamedia.com for my company as well.
Oh, man. It's been... You know what? The way we introduced you was perfect. I think that was the very best I've ever done, by the way.
It's the best that's ever happened to me, by the way.
I cannot begin to thank you enough. Thank you so much for coming through. It's been a roller coaster of note. I feel like I've learned so much already. You know, like when you watch people on TV and whatnot, everyone has these perceptions and thoughts and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But you just opened up my mind to so many different things. And I thank you for that.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been an honor and a privilege. And I've had so much fun.
I'm just glad that what I thought she was, she's actually that person.
Oh, high five. Yes.
There was a time when she spoke and
she literally had goosebumps.
Oh my God, what is happening?
Thank you so much, my queen. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Jack, like Neo, and Londi.
Yeah.
Power to all of y'all, man.
Woo. Thank you.
Co-sign.
As for us, you can follow us at JNG_live. Sorry. No, it's a bit of a, you know, I didn't know if it was the G or the J, you know. JNG underscore live or at Jack underscore 5'4", at Van Given, at Londy Sam underscore. And just like that, we out of here, man. CliffCentral.com.